673. That paper you got with the Heaven Medley, hold on to that. We're going to sing that a little bit later in the service. 673 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
There is a birthday card over here for Janet. Her birthday is this week. And obviously we all know the difficulties that she's had in being unable to come out of church. And so if you'd like to write a little note to encourage her on her birthday, that's over there on the organ. Pastor Betty contacted us and indicated there is a need for Bibles. All right. I believe, if I remember correctly, he was 15. Is that correct, Jim? 15 and he needed? Okay. They are $3 a piece. Hopefully we can get way more than that, so if there are others that need it beyond the 15 that we know about, we can contribute to that and be a blessing to him. And also, they did not specifically ask for funds for this, but we did hear that Mrs. Reddy is having medical tests done because of her diabetes has gotten considerably worse. So any extra money, I believe, would be great to contribute to them to help with whatever needs they might have. So the Bibles first, and then contributing toward her medical need, whatever that might be. If you'd like to contribute to that, just take one of the envelopes in the back, put your gift in it, and mark it for Pastor Reddy Bibles. Okay? Put it in the regular offering box. Alright? And so that's that situation. I've mentioned this recently as well, too. Periodically, we get new missionary letters that are posted on the side bulletin board over here. If you haven't read those, please take the opportunity to do so and keep up with the missionaries that we support, whether it be through money or through prayer. Yes, Sam?
I think we should mention that if anybody wants to contribute to the medical need for Mrs. Reddy, to also mark that on an envelope before it's put in the box.
Yes. Okay. Did everybody catch that? What you were saying? Okay. All right. So that's the situation there. One last item. Continue to pray for Kathy. She has decided to move, and she has some books that she is giving away. We're over here on the side of the platform. If you'd like to take one or more of them, please do so. And pray that the Lord will work out all the details as she moves to her new place. So, all right. I think that's all the announcements that I know of right now. So, let's go ahead and get back to singing here. Oh. We're not going to move on to we're not going to do the memory verse for the sake of time for today, but we moved on to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So if you want to continue learning that, that would be great. Before we go to our third song, there's going to be a special.
fits right in with our theme we've been singing with this morning about heaven. So trust that was a blessing to you. Let's take our books one more time. 691. service.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God had blessed consolation that my trials come to make me strong.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Good to see everyone here this morning. Got some needed rain. I don't know how much we're supposed to get, but I know we needed it. And probably need a lot more, actually. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's begin to read at verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're going to concentrate on that third verse. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Bring a message this morning on a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege again to be here in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we've had thus far. Thank you for the songs. Been a blessing to our hearts today. And thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. This is a day you've made. and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the rain you've sent our way. And Lord, thank you for the time now that we have to look into your word. And Lord, I pray as we consider the word of God again today, you speak to our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way in our hearts and lives. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' matchless name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how much military language there is in the Bible? A lot of it in the Old Testament. A lot of places where it talks about, you know, the Lord leading the armies of Israel. I think about the occasion in the book of Joshua when they're about to go up against Jericho. And Joshua saw a man with his sword drawn. And he said, are you for us? Or are you for, you know, the enemy? And basically, this is one of those Old Testament appearances of the Lord himself. And he said, take your shoes off. You know, you're on holy ground here. And so there we find one of those Old Testament appearances, which we call theophany. Thank you. Senior moment here. A theophany. That's when the Lord himself took on human form. We find that a number of places in the Old Testament. And so there he's clad in the armor of a warrior. You know, we're told in another place that the Lord is a man of war. And so a lot of military language in the Bible. And, you know, the Apostle Paul used a lot of military language in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, when he's describing the armor that we're to put on as Christians. Really, the armor he's describing there is the armor of a Roman soldier, isn't it? The various pieces of the armor. And so he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I have a lot of military history in my family. I had two great-grandfathers who were in the Civil War. One of them was from Philadelphia. He was in the 4th Pennsylvania Reserve Infantry. And he enlisted in 1861, and he was in for the duration. And I have a list of all the engagements that he was in, and it was a lot of things. I had another great-grandfather who was in the 8th Delaware Infantry. And the 8th Delaware was not formed until 1864. It was formed later on in the war, but he was in for a year, and he was involved in the siege of Petersburg. And so I have, you know, I have their discharges, both of them from the Civil War, have a list of all the engagements they were in. My father was in the First World War. I know I've told you this before, and I know what you're thinking, trying to calculate my age. My dad was 47 when I was born. But 4 days from now, today's July the 15th, 4 days from now, July the 19th, will be 100 years ago my dad was wounded in France on July the 19th, 1918, and basically disabled for the rest of his life as a result. My uncle, my mother's brother, joined the Army Air Corps. This is back before it was the Air Force. He joined the Army Air Corps in 1942. He wasn't seeing any action, and so he transferred to the infantry. And in April 1945, he was killed in action. My brother was on a minesweeper in the South Pacific during the Second World War. And I joined the Army Reserve in 1959. So we had a lot of military history in the family. But the Apostle Paul here, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, not everybody's a good soldier. If you were in the military, you probably remember some who were good soldiers, but you probably remember some who were not so good, too. By the way, that's also true when it comes to Christians, isn't it? God wants us to be a victorious Christian, wants us to live, you know, a victorious Christian life, but that's not true about every Christian, is it? It should be. And by the way, it can be because we have everything we need to live the Christian life, don't we? We've got the manual right here. This is the instruction manual that tells us how to live the Christian life. And then we have the Holy Spirit living within who gives us the power to do it. So basically, we've got everything we need. Have you ever noticed that everything in life involves a set of rules or a manual? You ever noticed that? I joined the Boy Scouts when I was 11 years old. One of the first things they did, they gave me a manual, Boy Scout manual. I still have it, by the way. When you drive a car, remember you got an instruction manual? And then you take a test because there are rules for driving a car. Usually when you go to work somewhere, there's a set of rules that just about every business has that I know of. You know, these are the rules if you're going to work here. Going to service, you've got a list of rules. Got a manual. Everything in life involves a set of rules. Well, this is a set of rules for the Christian life, right? Everything we need to know about the Christian life is right here. It's right here. And so this tells us what to do, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he gives us the power to do it. So there is every reason why we can be a good Christian and a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have it all available to us. Now, in thinking about a good soldier, let me say this. First of all, a good soldier realizes the importance of the military. He realizes the importance of the military. You know, have you ever seen this bumper sticker or a sign somewhere? It said, if you can read this sign, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a soldier. Yeah. You know, we have a great debt that we owe to those who have served, don't we? And those who have paid the supreme sacrifice. You know, I think about that, what they refer to as the greatest generation, the World War II generation. They are fast passing off the scene, aren't they? Thanks to them, the American flag still flies and not the swastika. You know, there was a time in the early part of the Second World War, and I was only 3 years old when it ended, so I can't give you any facts about that. Maybe somebody here older that could. But I know this, that in the early part of the war, it was not a sure thing that we were going to win. And it was a tough time. And thanks to those, you know, that stepped up and served and won that great victory. And all those, you know, from the Revolutionary War to Vietnam to Afghanistan and Iraq, all those that have served. And a good soldier realizes the importance of the military. Look, freedom is not free, is it? Freedom is not free. There's a cost. And we are so thankful to all those that have served and many that paid the supreme sacrifice in order that we might be free. And so a good soldier realizes the importance of the military. And a good Christian soldier realizes the importance of the church of the living God. You know, the Bible describes the church as an army with banners. We sing that song, Onward Christian Soldiers. You know, and we are in a battle, are we not? We are in a spiritual battle, not a battle, you know, a physical battle, but a battle with the forces of darkness, principalities and powers in high places, the forces of darkness. And so we're to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says, as Christians. And so a good soldier realizes the importance of the military. Then a second thing, a good soldier realizes the importance of discipline. Discipline. I remember September the 17th, 1960, because that's the day I set foot in Fort Knox, Kentucky to be in basic training. And I transitioned from a civilian to a soldier. And all of a sudden, I'm not running my own life anymore. Somebody's telling me what time to get up and when to eat and when to go to formation and, you know, when to go to work. Somebody's telling me all that. I'm not my own anymore. And some of the things that were done, I'm sure all of us thought were pretty stupid. Why are we having to do these things? Well, there was a reason, to teach us discipline. And You know, lots of times, by nature, we are not disciplined people, are we? If we'll be honest about it. We're just not. And so that's something that has to be taught. And really, you know, you learn that when you go in the service, don't you? And you learn things that really should help you throughout the rest of your life when it comes to the matter of discipline. I went to OCS in the reserves, and I remember some of the crazy things they did. We'd be outside in formation in our fatigue uniforms, and then they say, you've got 10 minutes to go change, you know, into your khakis. And then we'd go into the barracks, and all of our stuff would be up in the rafters. They'd pulled out all of our stuff out of the foot lockers and thrown it all over, and we're supposed to get dressed and fall out. And then you fall out. Some guys with a fatigue jacket or a fatigue shirt and khaki pants or whatever, and then you get chewed out. A royal chewing out. And, you know, we're thinking, this is so stupid. Why do we have to go through all this? Well, there's a reason. It's to teach us discipline. And, you know, God wants to teach us some discipline in our Christian lives, too. Discipline to stay in this book on a daily basis. Discipline to spend time in prayer on a daily basis. All those things, you know, God wants to teach us. And if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need that discipline in our lives, do we not? It's not going to come automatically. You know, we're going to have to submit ourselves to the Lord to allow him to teach us discipline. Then something else, a good soldier realizes the importance of orders. Orders. If you're given orders, it's expected that you're going to carry them out. And let's think, if everybody does what they're supposed to do, everything's going to move smoothly. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who gives us the orders as a Christian. And every single one of us have a different job, don't we? In the service, I was in a unit, artillery unit that we sent up weather balloons. That was our thing, to get weather information for the gunners. That was my job. And everybody had a job to do. As long as you did your job right, things moved smoothly the way they should. Same thing in the house of the living God. Everybody, as a Christian, really has some job that the Lord would have us to do. And I'm convinced he doesn't leave anybody out. You know, some folks say, well, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, you know, I haven't been called to the mission field, but there's something you can do. I know I probably said this up here before, but every church I've ever seen, you know, has had a need for workers, right? I've never met a pastor who said, you know, I've got more than what I need. I've got more folks than I need to take care of all the things that need to be done here. I've never met anybody like that. I've never seen a mission board that said, we've got enough missionaries, don't send us any more missionaries. No, they're all looking for missionaries. And look, you know, the Lord Jesus talked about the fields that are white unto harvest, right? But the laborers are few, he said. Still true, isn't it? That was true 2,000 years ago. It's still true today. The laborers are few. So God's looking for some folks, you know, that will get involved. And I guarantee you, you know, when you get a pastor, and you will here one of these days, when you get a pastor, there'll be something he'll find for you to do if you want to do something. And it should be in the heart of us as Christians, right, that we want to do something to please the Lord. So a good soldier realizes the importance of orders. When you get the orders, you carry them out. And you do what you're supposed to do, right? Then here's something else. A good soldier realizes the importance of his weapon. Now, in 1960, we were issued the M1 rifle. Anybody familiar with that? Now, the M14 had come out, and we actually got to fire the M14, but we were issued the M1. That's what we trained with. And I remember we had to take that thing apart and put it back together blindfolded. Anybody do that? Anybody remember that? Fun. Yeah, we did that. You had to know that weapon upside down and backwards, right? Because your life might depend on it. Well, look, here's our weapon. Here it is, the Word of God, the sword. And we need to know this weapon, don't we? Amazing, you know, how many folks are saved and really members of Bible-believing churches that really don't know their Bible that well. And really, there is no excuse for us in this country, is there? You know, most of us probably have more than one Bible at home. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but most of us probably have more than one. If you don't have a Bible, you can go to the dollar store and get one for a dollar, can't you? Paperback King James Version for a buck. I remember a number of years ago, back in the 70s, there was a Russian preacher that he was actually the head of the unregistered churches in Russia. And he was able to come to this country. He got swapped for a Russian spy that was sent back. And they allowed this fellow to come. And I'm trying to think of his name right now.
Georgie Vince.
Georgie Vince. Thank you very much. Georgie Vince. Yeah, it just came to me. I remember hearing him speak in Virginia Beach. And I remember him telling this story. He said, in Russia, and this is back, you know, during the Soviet Union. He said he carried on his person a small Russian Bible that he could hide. So that's all he had for years. He said when he got to New York, and they put him up in a hotel in New York, he said on the table next to his bed was a full-size Russian Bible. He said, when I saw that, he said, I broke down and wept. I hadn't seen that in a long time. You know, we take a lot of things for granted here, don't we? I remember hearing men who used to go to countries behind the Iron Curtain and pass out literature and Bibles. And I remember them telling how sometimes they didn't have enough Bibles to go around in some of those countries, and people would tear pages out and pass them around just so they could have something. We don't know anything about that. We are blessed beyond measure here. And really, of all the people in the world that ought to know this book, American Christians should know this book, shouldn't they? This is our weapon, sword of the Spirit. And a good soldier knows his weapon. Good soldier knows also about teamwork. Working together, your life may depend on your buddy, right? I mentioned my dad was wounded in 1918. Artillery shell exploded, and he was hit with shrapnel, mainly in his legs, and knocked him out. And they had bodies lined up in that black French mud, a place called Soissons, France. And he was laying, you know, where they had the bodies lined up for the burial crew. And a buddy of his by the name of Claude Hollis came along, and he saw he was there. Saw he was still alive, and they got him out. I probably wouldn't be here today, admit for that. But a good soldier knows the importance of teamwork, working together. And really, that should be true in the local church too, shouldn't it? One of the things that impresses me when I read the book of Acts, where it talks about the early church being of one accord. Ever read that? Two little words, one accord. And it was said about them, they that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Well, why was it they were able to get so much done? I think that's one of the big reasons right there. They were in one accord. Now, again, that doesn't mean that everybody dotted their I's and their T's, crossed their T's the same way, does it? It doesn't mean that. Because we're all different. Every single one of us are different. We have different likes and different dislikes. And God's made us that way, by the way. Look, if he'd wanted us to all be alike, he'd have made us that way, wouldn't he? You know, I used to, I first got saved and felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. And I would listen to certain preachers, you know, that I looked up to, and I would think, boy, I wish I could preach like that. They stomp and spit and snort and yell. And I think, man, I wish I could preach like that. And it seemed like the Lord, you know, said to me, now, wait a minute. If I wanted you to be like that, I'd have made you like that. Just be yourself. You know, someone said this, that the surest way to failure is try to, you know, be something you're not. Just be yourself. You know, God gives every one of us certain traits and certain characteristics and certain talents, and he wants to use us the way we are. You know, trying to be somebody else, you know, is going to defeat the purpose, isn't it? But if we'll just use what God's given us and work together as a local church, you know, when I read about that local church in Jerusalem, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, people are getting saved all the time. I mean, God's doing great things. And they were selling things that they had. And, you know, remember reading that along about Acts chapter number 4? God is doing a great work. And they were in one accord. May the Lord help our churches in this day and time to be in one accord. I think we'll see God do some great things if that's the case. So a good soldier knows the importance of teamwork. Then a good soldier knows the importance of punctuality. Punctuality. If you're supposed to be in formation at 0600, that's what they mean, right? And you better be there. I hate being late for things. I have been late, you know, for things over the years, but I surely don't like to be. I remember hearing actually, this fellow was a businessman, and he was talking about how to emphasize punctuality. And he said this, he said, if you want to schedule a meeting and make sure people are there, don't schedule it for, say, 8:15, schedule it for 8 minutes after 8. What does that do? I mean, that emphasizes the importance of every minute, doesn't it? Punctuality. One thing we cannot recall is time, can we? No, we can't recall it. And once it's gone, it's gone. And a good soldier realizes the importance of punctuality, and a good soldier of Jesus Christ realizes that too. I've heard missionaries say that in some places, particularly in Latin American countries, if you're going to start at 10 o'clock, don't look for them. It may be a quarter after, it may be 10:30, who knows? But we should be punctual, I believe. I think God's pleased with that. A good soldier realizes the importance of punctuality. A good soldier realizes the importance of diversity. Again, you know, we are all different. And God's made us that way. He wants to use us the way, you know, he made us. Some people, you know, he may send to the mission field. Some he may have to teach Sunday school classes. Some he may have to pastor churches here. people in the music field, various things that God does in our lives, and He wants to use those things really for His honor and glory and for the, you know, the furtherance of the Church of the Living God. Then a good soldier realizes the importance of camaraderie. Good Christian friends are worth their weight in gold, aren't they? Before I got saved, I thought I had some friends. And I told you about my best friend. I mean, when I say my best friend, you know, this fellow and his wife were in our wedding. We were in their wedding. We went on vacations together. We did everything together. When I got saved and I told him that I got saved, he got down on the ground and rolled back and forth laughing. That was my best friend. And that basically put an end to our friendship. Not because I wanted it to, but basically they didn't want anything to do with us. But you know, there are Christian friends that I have that I believe I could call on them at 2 o'clock in the morning with a need and they'd be there. Well, that's the way they are. And your Christian friends are worth their weight in gold, aren't they? I counseled a fellow one time, said, I don't have any friends. I said, well, go make some. Go make some friends. A man that would have friend must what?
Show himself friendly.
I know sometimes folks say, well, you know, I go to visit a church and nobody shakes my hand. You know what I do? I go shake some hands. Go shake some hands. But camaraderie, that's important as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then your assignment, whatever it is, your assignment is important. And you stay faithful. Joshua Charles Chamberlain was the colonel of the 20th Maine during the Civil War. He'd been a college professor in Bowdoin College in Maine. Enlisted in the Union Army, rose to the rank of colonel. And at the Battle of Gettysburg, he was given the assignment of holding the Little Round Top. The 7th Alabama Regiment was charging up that hill. A number of times they charged, and a number of times they were repelled. Finally, the 20th Maine ran out of ammunition. And you know what Chamberlain did? He ordered a bayonet charge down the mountain and won the day. Got the Congressional Medal of Honor for that. Ran out of ammunition, but his orders and his assignment was to hold that position. He did. You know, we have been given orders as Christians. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Now, I don't know when the Lord's coming, and nobody else does. I know there are lots of folks who try to set dates, and over the years have been different ones who've tried to do that. I remember a fellow wrote a book back in 1988, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming in 88. Anybody remember that book? Sold a bunch of books, but it didn't happen, did it? And by the way, if you knew what this book said, you wouldn't fall for that, because nobody knows the day nor the hour. Only Owen the Father knows that. But these guys come on the scene and they set dates and they get followers. But truth is, nobody knows when He's coming except the Heavenly Father. But now this much I know, He's coming. And we have the promise that the Lord Jesus is coming back. I think He's coming soon. Now, I may be wrong. It may not be for another 100 years, but I feel like He's coming soon. I think there's every reason to think that He's coming soon. And when He does, we should be looking for Him, shouldn't we? Stand at our post, our assignment. You know, before I got married, I was not a very good housekeeper. I just wasn't. I could never figure out why you had to fold underwear and put it in a drawer. I mean, who's going to see it? I mean, to me, you just stuff it in there, you know. And I remember before I got married, when I had a shirt to iron, I mean, I would iron, if I was going to wear a jacket, I'd iron the collar, I'd iron the cuffs, and down about to here. But that's all because who else was going to see it? That's the way I thought. Now, my wife doesn't think that way, thankfully. And I have to admit this, sometimes she goes away with her sisters for a few days, and I'm left to fend for myself. And when she is away, I'll be honest, I don't make the bed. I don't wash the dishes. I don't tidy up because nobody's going to see it except me. But then if she's due home, say on Saturday, guess what I do on Friday? I wash dishes. Saturday morning, I make the bed. And I tidy up so that when she walks in, it's going to look the way it was when she left it. Now, that's because I want to please her. But think about this in a spiritual sense. The Lord's coming. He is coming, isn't he? We don't know when that's going to be. And so that really should keep us on our toes because we want to please him. I think everybody wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I think we want to hear that. And it should be in our hearts, you know, that we want to please the Lord above everybody. And so the fact that he's coming, and what we're told to do is to watch, right? Remember, that's what he said, watch. That's to keep us on our toes. Stay at our assignment, whatever it is, and be faithful. And as Paul wrote here, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We want to be good soldiers. So may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. And let's bow for prayer. Just before we pray, maybe as a Christian, you say, Brother Bob, there's a need in my life, and I wish you'd pray for me. God knows what it is. And I'm concerned about it, and I wish you'd pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Let's pray for you today. The Lord knows what it is, and he wants to meet it. We'd like to remember you in prayer. Someone? Thank you so much. I see that hand. Someone, and this hand, thank you. Yes, thank you. Someone else today? Please pray for me. I have a need. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Now, I'm looking over the congregation, I would say, probably most everybody here claims to be saved, but it's possible someone may be here that's not. And if that's the case, we'd like to pray for you. If you've never trusted Jesus, would you let us pray for you? Would you slip up your hand and let us pray for you? I'd like to remember you in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it, applies it to our hearts. Pray for these that raise their hands. Lord, you know what their need is. You know exactly how to meet it. I pray that you would do that. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be that soldier that be pleasing to you. And just have your way now in our lives as we commit this service into your faithful hands. In Jesus' wonderful name and for his sake we ask it. Amen.
So I figured we might as well sing 620 in the hymn book. Honorary Christian soldier, let's stand and sing.
Peace.
obviously without him, we can't get anything accomplished. So we have to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ for that. Alrighty. Good to see you all here. Have a great day. Take care as you drive home. Maybe a little rough out there yet.